Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
So often, we are hunched over and bent. Like the fleas that we just saw in that clip, we are trapped in the confines of our perceived limitations. In that clip, as we saw, the fleas were set free eventually, set free from the jar that had confined them for 3 days. A curious length of time, isn't it, that 3-day period? Enough to totally change everything, apparently. And the fleas are set free from the confines of the jar in which they've lived for those 3 days. But in that time, they have learned the limits of their container. They've learned where the sides and the top and the bottom are, and they will not jump beyond those limits. And so even when the limitations are removed, they remain trapped. Sound a little like us sometimes. There's another popular story, illustration, about elephants. When elephants are very young, if they're going to be trained and kept in a circus or a show or, I don't know, as a pet, I don't know, when they are very young, they can be tied to a stake in the ground with a rope or a chain. And as long as it's strong enough to hold the baby elephant, then it keeps the elephant to that confined space. When the elephant is older, it remains staked, tied to the same stake in the ground, which by this point, the adult elephant could easily rip up and take with it and go and be free wherever it wanted to be. But the elephant has learned over years and years and years, and as they say, elephants don't forget. Elephants do have very, very good memory, and they have learned over years and years that they cannot move beyond that stake. And so, although they could free themselves from the confines that they've been acculturated to, the confines that they have been trained with and taught are real, they do not. They don't even try. Because they have learned, they've memorized the limitations. We have many limitations that we place on ourselves, that other people place on us, that we carry around with us, and these limitations may be very, very real, very, very harsh and restrictive. The jar, the glass of the jar is immobile. It does not change, it does not move, it does not give. And so sometimes the things that confine us are very real, and I am not diminishing that. And we may be big and strong like an elephant or feel small and insignificant like a flea. But regardless, those limitations, those confines train us, until we cannot think beyond them, until we cannot break beyond those barriers, those confines. And so no matter how long ago they have been removed, we remain encased by them, shackled by them, stooped over for years and years and years. 18 years, this woman could not stand up straight. Ever felt like that? Like the weight of limitation, of anger, of fear, of burden was pressing upon you, and it had been years since you were able to stand up straight. And so, bent over for years by our perceived inadequacies, by our training that the limits are there, by the tapes we play in our own heads, no matter how big or small, how strong or weak we are, we can be captured and confined by the limitations that we and others place on us, even long after they're gone. And that confinement becomes our life until we barely even notice it. Like the fleas in the jar, they keep multiplying and living out their lives within those confines, out of habit, out of safety, out of what they know. Like the elephant tied to the ground, this woman bent over and hunched for years, nearly two decades. What has she missed? What confines have held her? And what would it take to actually, truly set her free? Maybe those confines were still all around her when she encountered Jesus. Certainly some of them we can name and we know were there. Confines of the day and of ours, like class and gender. Confines like social status or systemic oppression. Confines we can imagine like abuse or neglect or isolation. And certainly this story posits physical confines as well. Maybe some of those confines were removed long ago, but standing up is still so hard. Leaping beyond the jar takes such faith, raising our trumpeting trunks, such bravery and strength. No mere medicine would work. Other healing stories tell of people who saw physician after physician, doctor after doctor. But what if after so long living with this dis-ease, so long living with this ailment, even when the body is healed, the spirit has been cowed, has been confined, has been weakened? But Jesus heals her. He doesn't only remove the stake or break the glass of the jar, because that's not enough. Fear and pain and long training would still have kept her stooped over, hunched and cowed, afraid to live beyond the confines of what has been. He does not just heal her, he tells her, "You have been set free." He retrains the flea, the elephant, who has learned the confines and says, "No, no more. You are not defined by this. You are not confined by this. You are not limited by this. Daughter, sister, you are set free." He acknowledges, sees, draws forth the faith in her, the courage in her, that it will take to break free and live as who she is meant and called to be. This passage is glorious enough in itself, but when yoked as it is today with this passage from Jeremiah, it speaks to me of what it is that gives us the strength and the courage to break free from our shells, right? We say, "Come out of your shell," as a way of talking about maybe a shy or a reserved person, right? But to break free of that shell, to break free of the confines, and live as who we are called to be, and what I believe that takes, at least in part, at least in this context, is knowing who we are called to be, knowing that we are called to be something, anything. And so in Jeremiah, we hear the word of God coming to the prophet, who is at this point a young person, a young man. And the word of God comes to Jeremiah and says, "Before you were born, I formed you in the womb. And I knew you. And before you were born, I blessed, anointed, consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Before you were born." And Jeremiah has lots to say about that, as most of us do when we feel that God might be calling us to something. "Oh, God. No, no, no." There are all of these perfectly legitimate reasons, like the glass walls of the jar around us, like the lid on top. There are all of these confines that bind us, like the shackles around our feet tied to the stake in the ground. And God says, "Don't say that to me. Don't give me that. I called you. You see, today I set you as a prophet to the people, as a prophet to the nations. I put words in your mouth, and I appoint you to speak them." And I believe that this is part of that fire in the belly that I was talking about last week. But it's part of the lifelong calling that I think we all have. This is what I believe the truest and deepest and perhaps hardest part of our faith is, which is to discover and uncover the calling that God has placed in our lives. And then drawing from the faith that we have, that God does not call the equipped, but God equips the called. Drawing on the deep faith that we have in what God is saying to us, that I have sent you. I know you. I loved you before you were even born, and I have called you and sent you with a message, with a mission to speak my word or to whatever it is that we are called to do. Drawing on the deep courage and conviction that comes from that, use that strength to retrain ourselves, to break free from the confines, real or imagined, that would hold us back. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this for myself when I come upon something that I'm really passionate about, that I'm really called to do, and the conviction that gives me strength to overcome obstacles. But more importantly and more beautifully for me, I've seen this in so many of you. When you come upon that to which God has called you, the joy, the freedom, the passion that comes from breaking out of your confines, things that you never thought you could do, feeling God's Spirit working in and through you and your work, be it a sermon that you never thought you could give, a thrift store you never imagined would come into being, a youth event that was so hard to organize, a coffee house that was a figment of imagination, a conference worship service you never imagined attending, and on and on and on. The joy of living, the freedom of living as who we are called to be, as who God has appointed us to be, gives us the courage and conviction. Because we, my friends, are not fleas. And we're also not elephants, wise and strong as they are. And so I did not name this sermon "The Fleas in the Jar" or "The Elephant Tied to the Stake." I named this sermon "Out of Your Shell" because I think we might be more like birds and other winged creatures. Birds within their eggs are spending their early lives, their early formation, growing and living within a very tight and confined and increasingly small, too small space. And yet they need to break out of that shell. They need to break out of that shell, and doing so, the breaking out, is part of the journey, part of how they develop and solidify the strength, the faith that they need, the strength and faith that we find when we tap into the calling that God has given us and the way that God equips each one of us. And so there's a second clip that I want to show you, as my assistant apparently has come forward. But there's a second clip I want to show you. This comes from the TV show Lost, which was on a few years ago. I can't come down right now, buddy. I'm almost done, I promise. Okay? I promise all of them, too. I'm almost done. In this clip, just as a very brief background, Locke, who's the man who's butchering an animal in the foreground, so I apologize for that, Locke is speaking with Charlie, who's a young man, a band member. Charlie has crashed on the island while addicted to drugs, while addicted to cocaine. Locke has found Charlie's stash of drugs, and Charlie knows this. And he keeps asking Locke for those drugs back. And Locke teaches him with this parable, not of a bird, but of a moth in a cocoon. You see, the struggle is part of what makes each one of us strong enough to spread our wings and fly. And so it is not enough to be set free. It is not enough for the jar to be removed, for the stake to be pulled from the ground. It is not even enough for the cocoon or the egg to be cracked open further for us. We need to dig deep into the faith, into the calling, into the courage that we have, so that we will have the strength to emerge and to spread our wings. Are you a flea or a bird? Are you tied down and stooped over, or are you proud and strong? Are you ready to dig deep, to find your calling, your center, your strength, and then use that faith to push through the crack in your shell, to break free of the cocoon of your own spinning? Stretch your wings and soar. Amen.